Hello and welcome. I'm Greg Martinelli, and this is the Ag Sales Professional Podcast. And the purpose of this podcast is to make you the best salesperson or sales manager possible in agribusiness. Today, we're going to talk about internal networking to be a better salesperson in agribusiness. I call it a salesperson's guide to teamwork in a dysfunctional culture. Well, salespeople need to build internal teamwork even when other departments don't want to. Now it's March and most of the agribusiness trade shows are winding down. And you did a great job setting up booths and displaying your latest and greatest products. And you networked. Oh, how you networked. You went to the breakfast, the lunches, the snack breaks, and the evening socials. You met great contacts and agreed to follow up with them really soon. You met prospective customers and you promised them you'd follow up. Well, planting season is at hand for those in the crop production business. Now it's time to get out into the market and follow up. In other words, deliver on all those promises. But before you go, I want you to accomplish one more networking event to help you out there. I want you to do an authentic round of internal networking. Many of us who sell in agribusiness feel like we're on an island. We work remotely and we rarely see those people in our support teams, like our accounting teams, our customer service, delivery, production teams. However, we need them in today's market. Why? Well, with multiple suppliers of sometimes the very same products we sell, we have a lot of team competition. Our teamwork and go-to-market strategy might be the only differentiation we have when selling to farmers and ag buyers. Most of us are all for teamwork, and I've preached it on this podcast and my blog articles many times. And that's a great thing when everyone gets along. However, many of our teammates, and I'm sure you know this, act like kings and queens of their own little silos. They don't play nice with others. I've worked with numerous teams where some were whole departments. Some were just people, and some were the whole departments were not only disengaged, difficult, and detrimental to business, but they were downright destructive. Well, you can chalk it up to resentment, maybe lack of accountability, nepotism, poor leadership is part of it as well, and a lot of times it's just disorganization. All of these played various parts in those teams' levels of dysfunction. Now, here's an important note, and this is why I'm telling you. If you're a salesperson, this is your problem to champion, because the dysfunction takes its toll on your customers. They are the ones on the receiving end of poor customer service, late or no deliveries, invoicing errors. It all comes down to the customer receiving poor service. And you will bear the brunt of that dissatisfaction. Either you're going to lose them as a customer or when you get chewed out the next time you're on a call with them. Now, my advice is to get in front of this situation. Even if your team is more functional than dysfunctional, it can always improve and get better. Now, when I'm working with these teams, typically the sales team is working hard, but results are not where they need be. When the sales manager begins discussing the need to increase sales and market share, that's when the fangs and the claws come out. Blame, excuses, and anger fill the room. We squander the next 90 minutes discussing who was at fault and how impossible progress was with the current internal climate. After decades of listening and re-listening to communication training concepts and implementing them in multiple sales teams, it hit me that we needed to blend all of these concepts into one powerful communication exercise. Some of the best teamwork and relationship building material is covered in Stephen Covey's The 7 Habits, or Pat Lencioni with The 5 Dysfunctions of a Team. And then hundreds of years ago, the 4 DISC styles were created. And to top it all off, we know that getting cooperation from everyone will take crucial conversations with some of the most difficult people we know. Now, each time I've recommended one of these to a team, it seemed that they only used one of them to work on their problem. And that's when it hit me. What if we used all 4 of them? Well, starting with DISC is how I usually like to go. We can learn how we are wired as well as how others on our team are wired. Now, this is the basis of communication. Knowing whether or not they need time to analyze and think, or if they can just jump into change quickly. Gaining that understanding is powerful when we realize they aren't being difficult, they're just prone to analyzing a lot of data before they make a change. Well, the next one to bring in is habit number 4 of the 7 habits, and that's seek to understand. How powerful is this habit when applied to difficult people?
You can see their tough demeanor soften as you begin to ask questions and sit with them in their workplace to understand their challenges. More importantly, you understand how you might be able to easily help them in their role. Then you can try to explain your needs. Functional versus dysfunctional teams is not a yes or no answer. Every team has some level of both. Even the dynasty teams of the NFL have dysfunction. Green Bay in the 60s, Steelers in the 70s, even the Patriots in the 2000s. Every one of those teams had their share of dysfunction. It may take a little longer to go through, but a quick study of Pat Lencioni's five dysfunctions of a team is a great way to assess the most pressing problems on your team. Whether it's a lack of trust, accountability, or inattention to results, you know the base of the pyramid he uses is the most critical skills to develop first. Well, last but not least, it falls on someone's shoulders to have those difficult conversations. Now, these crucial conversations are defined as moments when stakes are high, emotions are high, and opinions differ. Now, think about some of the greatest challenges in your business right now. Some of the ones I've seen with most teams, including the ones I was on, same-day orders, long-distance deliveries, the boom and bust seasons in agribusiness when you're either way overstaffed or way understaffed. Well, recently, the lack of service workers to keep equipment running. Now, the stakes are high as you risk losing valuable customers and or both valuable employees. Emotions run high as we begin to tell the three stories that are in crucial conversations. That is, the victim story, the villain story, and the helpless story. That is, we are victims of this poor performance, and the villain is those people, always those. There's always somebody in the business that's the villain. And then the helpless story where we can't do anything about it. Now, have you recognized yourself or someone on your team using these stories as an excuse or maybe a crutch to allow for poor behaviors or performance? Well, if so, this is the moment to hold a crucial conversation. Now, you might be asking yourself, why am I preaching this to salespeople? Aren't we the ones with a pulse on the customer? Don't we know more about how to help customers? Shouldn't Greg be telling this to those other departments? Well, I get it, and I was in those exact same shoes. And I definitely struggled with poor performing departments that didn't seem to care that we were losing valuable customers if they didn't improve. However, I too was a part of the problem, sometimes a big part of the problem. And I too promised products and services I probably shouldn't have. In those darkest of difficulties, I found these concepts that I just went through always were a better solution than heavy-handed tactics. Now, as salespeople, we work hard to prospect new accounts, get them to buy, and then work with them on using or reselling our products. So it's understandable that we're a bit angry when someone doesn't process a document or make a return phone call to a customer or check inventory levels to make sure we have enough. We want immediate solutions. Sometimes that we want is a heavy-handed tactic. Well, the next time you are in one of these situations or you're tempted to lose your composure, re-listen to this and look up the resources mentioned and see which one can be brought in to help you and the team through it.
I hope today's podcast helped you on your journey to be the best ag sales professional possible. Now, you can always access more blog articles, podcasts, and training opportunities, both virtual and in person, on my website at www.gregmartinelli.net. Thank you and have a great day.